Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. And welcome to the Bold Business Podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you today. For those of you that may not know Anne, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business and how you got started.
Yeah, so I am a systems and automation strategist, I guess would be the official title. I started my business in 2017, so about 5 years ago now. Wow, it's been quite the journey. I started as a virtual assistant. I found out about virtual assistants via Facebook, somehow stumbled upon a group and learned that virtual assistants was a thing. And from there, I kind of just dove right in. I actually started off with photo editing. So I self-taught myself Photoshop and started editing photos for photographers. And it started just kind of going from there, from being in the photography business world, I kind of learned that there was a need for other types of virtual admin tasks and other things in business that photographers had. And so I would frequently be in these Facebook groups, learning about the different tools that people were using, and kind of just stumbled into all the different programs that they were using and learned about how their processes worked and how their systems worked. And I actually ended up starting my own wedding photography business from that, which I still do on the side. But I really enjoyed just diving into all of the systems and processes and learned one of the programs specifically called Dubsado and dove into that really, really well and learned how to kind of construct workflows for photographers and found that I really enjoyed setting up automations and setting up systems and helping other people free up more time in their life and in their business. And so from there, I kind of just started working with different photographers, helping them to set up Dubsado. Dubsado is kind of the main thing that I've been doing. And through my journey of kind of going through this whole process of learning Dubsado, learning systems and automations, I also stumbled upon another tool I use called Dubbins. And have been working with Dubbins since a year ago now, 2 years ago. But Dubbins works with Dubsado to be able to enhance their forms and things on that side. And I became really good friends with the owners of Dubbins and have actually started partnering with them to help other people who are looking to build systems and automations businesses get started. So I've kind of taken on a mentorship role with Dubbins as well as still working with my systems and automations business on my own. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit about me.
That is so awesome. Well, first off, congratulations that you're on your 5-year marker. That is huge. I feel like so many people listening to this podcast are probably like, oh my gosh, I would love to be able to say I've been in business for 5 years. And I think it's so cool that you got your start as a virtual assistant and you started out in a Facebook group, because that is so similar to my story as well. I tell people, I'm like, I literally stumbled into this magical world of being a virtual assistant, and it happened through a Facebook group. And then I also love that you slowly found your calling and you really niched down into systems and automation. I think, you know, sometimes it can be challenging to niche down. I feel like it takes a lot of courage to say, okay, I'm just going to focus on serving this one select group of people. Walk me through what that process was like for you and how you made the decision to niche down and really what that looked like from a technical standpoint.
Yeah, so from being in the, like, the Facebook groups and stuff, you get a lot of information. I learned a lot about what I know through Facebook groups, which is actually really cool because, like, 10 years ago, you would never have been able to do anything like that. But just being in Facebook groups and everybody would talk about this concept of just niching down and focusing on a specific area of business and, like, really honing in on your skill set in that area. And like I said, when I first started introducing myself, I initially had just started with just photo editing. That was all I was doing. And I really enjoyed that and ended up burning myself out on that and kind of switched over to the systems and automation standpoint. But like when you're looking at niching down, from my point of view, it was more of like, I want to be able to hone in on a specific skill set and do something really, really well. Because I think there's a temptation as business owners to be able to try to do all of the things and be that unicorn virtual assistant that kind of does everything. And we're doing a lot of things, but we're not really doing something really, really well. And I realized that the way that I was going to be able to put systems into my own business and the way that I was going to be able to scale and grow and serve my clients better was to find that one thing that I really enjoyed doing, that really excited me, that really lit me up, and that I really could foresee myself doing more longer term, was to actually niche down, find that specific thing, and then focus really well on that.
So I totally understand where you're going for just really trying to hone in on who you're serving and doing one thing really well, as opposed to like trying to do 10 things just okay. And I think too, you know, I almost feel like sometimes you have to go through that initial phase to really learn, like what you said, you know, you burnt yourself out on photo editing. Well, for someone else, that might be video editing or that might be managing a podcast or whatever. And I noticed that same thing with myself. Even when I was first getting started, I was like trying to be all the things to all the people. And it can be hard to say no, because if somebody is willing to pay you for your services, especially in the beginning, you're like, yes, like thankful, like someone wants to hire me. This is amazing. But I think it gets to a point where you're like, I'm having to relearn, you know, new skills every time. It's taking me longer to do things. It makes it challenging, I think, from like a pricing standpoint. Like, how do you market yourself to if you're trying to like be all the things to all the people? So I totally commend you for, you know, having the courage to be able to say, okay, I'm going to focus in on systems and automation. So if someone is struggling to pick a niche, what advice would you give them if they're trying to figure out, okay, what's going to be like that one it thing for me that I'm really going to be known for?
So my advice would be to kind of look at the things that you really enjoy. Because I think some people look at niche and think about niching down and are like, okay, so I have experience in doing like maybe marketing for my past job, and maybe that would be a good thing to do in the virtual assistant world, which is totally fine. And if marketing is something that lights you up and brings you joy, then that is something that you could definitely do in the virtual assistant world. But I think that the most important thing is to find that one thing that does bring you joy. Because if you are going in and you're just trying to chase after something that somebody else is doing, because I think that's a big temptation as well, is virtual assistants will come in and they'll see somebody being very successful and making a lot of money doing photo editing or whatever it might be. And so they're like, I'll niche down to that because that looks like a profitable like place to be. But I think that beyond that, it's really important to find a thing that actually brings you joy. If you don't like photo editing, even if somebody else is making a lot of money doing it, you might make some money doing it, but you're not going to enjoy your life. And I think that one of the reasons why a lot of people become virtual assistants is to get away from that corporate world, but also to get away from a job that they don't like. And so it's really important to take the time to like really self-reflect and think about the things that you like enjoy and things that you might foresee yourself doing more longer term. And I think it's also really important to realize that if you niche down, it doesn't mean you're stuck in that niche forever. You can shift, you can change. If you get into a niche, like say you get into photo editing or you get into some sort of social media management and you're doing it and you're like plugging along and you like it, but it's not really bringing you joy or it's burning you out and you really think that you might thrive in a different niche, it's okay to pivot your business, especially when you're first starting out, to pivot your business and to try a couple of different niches to be able to find the one that you really want to stick with long term. But it is like, it is important to focus on that specific niche and give it your best shot and to like focus in and really commit, but then also you can pivot later on. But yeah, to funnel all of your marketing efforts into that specific spot and all of your messaging, I think really helps virtual assistants being able to get those clients and being able to actually really resonate with a specific area of expertise rather than marketing themselves as a general admin. And then people are hiring them as a general admin. And like you said, learning, having to learn all of the tools, having to spend time and money and resources and energy on all of the different things all at once. I think it's better to just focus in specifically at the beginning, commit to that. And then if you find that you don't like it, it's okay to pivot.
Yeah. And I love that you said, you know, it's okay to try a few different things, but it's also okay if you realize, oh, I niche down to social media and I don't really like social media. And then all of a sudden you're pivoting. I feel like that's okay too. And I think as we evolve as business leaders and our skill sets evolve and our knowledge base evolves, I think who we serve and the skills that we can offer will also evolve, which means that I think a pivot almost is natural in a sense. And I think it could be a good thing too, because, you know, mixing it up every now and then is not a bad thing. So you obviously are an expert in systems and automation. Walk us through sort of what that looks like. If someone's like new to the online business world and they're like, okay, I've heard people talk about like systems and automation, but like, what does that really look like from like a tangible perspective? What goes into that and sort of like, you know, what your day-to-day looks like and building out those things?
Yep, for sure. So for systems and automations, we often talk about the client process and what is your client process. So as a systems and automations expert, I will often sit down with all of my clients and we'll go through from the moment that a person fills out your lead capture form on your website to the last interaction you have with them during your offboarding process and kind of flesh out exactly what that process looks like. And this is something that every single business owner should do, regardless of your business, because you want to come up with a streamlined way that clients are moving through your business. Because if we don't have a streamlined way to be able to move our clients through our business, it's going to be really difficult to give everybody the same great client experience that we all want to be able to give. It's also going to be really hard to see where maybe our process is failing us a little bit and where tweaks and adjustments need to be made. So I always encourage people, especially new business owners or people who are just getting started, or maybe even people who have been in a business for a while and not actually done this, to map out their client process and to write down all of the different steps that a client takes with them. So what does that process look like when your client first inquires? Do you get on a discovery call with them? Do you send them a proposal right away? Do you have an email interaction of some sort? Like writing down all of those different steps throughout the like onboarding process and also throughout your client's journey with you. So what does it look like to fulfill your offer with them? What sort of emails do you send them? What sorts of questionnaires do you send them? And just mapping out that whole process from start to finish, I think is really beneficial. And then once you have it all set up and you have all of the different points of contact with your client all written down, whether you do that on a whiteboard or in a flow chart, or some people like just the basic old pen and paper to write it down, or sticky notes that you can move around. Once you have it all written down and you can visually see the whole process that your client goes through, you can then determine if there's another email touch point that you could add, or if you could consolidate like two questionnaires that you send a client, if you can consolidate them into one so that they're not overwhelmed by multiple questionnaires, and just finding all of the different areas that we can optimize the client process so that we can start to streamline it. And then from there, once you have it all mapped out, you can begin to use tools like Dubsado. So Dubsado is a client management system that you can input your workflows and stuff into to be able to automatically send emails out at specific times in your workflow. I think that's very beneficial to start automating some of the tasks that you do. Because if you think about your client process, you will start to realize that you already probably have a process that you go through with each of your clients that's similar, even if you've never written it down before. So you can think about, okay, so every single client, like once they fill out my lead capture form, I send them a very similar email. So maybe that's something that I could start by just automating just that first email back to them to start getting more information from them. Or every single client, like, we go through this whole process and it's pretty much the same. We can start looking at all of our emails and putting them into like a client management system to be able to build out that workflow. So that's where I encourage people to start, is by just mapping out their process and finding those specific areas in your workflow that might benefit from another email touch point or another questionnaire or whatever it might be. Maybe you're not even sending a questionnaire yet. To be able to find a program, either Dubsado or HoneyBook is another one, that you could potentially put these things in so that you can start gathering all of this information from your client and also giving them the same client experience. And I think that another hesitation that a lot of people have with this is that they think that automation means that it's going to be like robotic, or it's not going to be as personal if we're sending like the same email to every single person. But there is the ability for a lot of these programs to be able to customize like specific areas of the email. So whether that's a client's name or specific information that you have gathered from the client, and to be able to customize them a little bit more. But if you really think about it and you really sit down and look at the emails you've sent to past clients, you will begin to see that they're basically the same anyways. And so taking the time to automate that can be really beneficial for your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that even ties back into like once you've niched down and really honed in on your skill set, like you said, you're able to sort of look at things from a bird's eye view, and you can sit down and say, okay, so let's say I have, you know, a basic website, somebody lands on my website, they fill out my inquiry form, whatever that looks like. And then generally speaking, you would probably follow up with an email of some response saying like, you know, so excited you reached out. This is the services we offer. Here's where you can set up a call. And if you're doing that with, say, you know, 10 clients over the course of a week, think about how much time it's taking you to like write that email out, to put that link in, to pull all the information together. And what Anne's saying is like being able to identify, okay, I'm doing this same thing multiple times, even though these emails might be like slightly different. They're generally speaking kind of the same, and they're all going to photographers that are all looking for somebody to edit photos. We'll just go with that since we've been using that example. And so what I can do is set up an automated touch point, like Anne said, where instead of me physically hitting send on that email, you can use a platform like HoneyBook or Dubsado, and it's automated. So they'll, as soon as they inquire, you know, within an hour, they're getting an email that says like, I'm so glad you reached out. Here's a form that you can fill out, or here's a link where you can book a call with me, or, you know, here's a video walking through like what services I have, whatever feels natural for you. So let's say that somebody is like a little bit intimidated. They're like, okay, I've gone through my process. Maybe I've identified like three touch points that I feel like I could possibly automate, but the tech sort of scares them and they're not really sure like where to start. They're like, I want to do this, but I don't know how to like put it into action. What advice would you give someone that's like trying to get started with these automations in their business?
So my advice would be to, if you have a program in mind that you would like to try, to join that program's community. Like most of the programs like Dubsado and HoneyBook and pretty much all of the other ones that I'm aware of have a Facebook group that has a community of users that is a variety of different people. So people who are just starting all the way up to professionals who have businesses and setting people up and helping people get started with these programs. So I would encourage you to just dive into the specific Facebook groups. There's lots of communities out there that people that can help you. There's also a lot of free resources out there too, for like YouTube, and just taking the time to devote to learning the software, to doing the research about the software, and to have an educated understanding of what the software can do for you before you jump in. And if you're unsure of that, to dive into the Facebook communities, to ask a question, ask other people who might be in the same industry you are or offering the same services, what their experience is with using that platform. And I promise you, if you dive into any of these Facebook groups for these specific programs and you ask a question about, hey, I'm starting a virtual assistant business in photo editing or whatever your service might be. Are there other people who use this platform for this, and how do you use it in your business? And I promise you that there are so many people that are just willing and able to help you, to be able to give you advice. And there's also a lot of people that if you have no idea what you're doing with your client process, or you really just want to talk to another person about it, there's so many people out there that are just willing and able to help and to talk through it with you, whether that's either paying for a strategy call with a professional that specializes in it, or just talking to people in a Facebook group or through a direct messenger or whatever it might be. But there's a lot of people out there that are willing to help, and a lot of free resources to be able to do so.
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like people are very opinionated as to what platform they love or don't love, and for whatever reason. So I feel like when you ask that question, like, which one should I go with, Dubsado or HoneyBook? You'll get so many people that are like, you know, Dubsado is the holy grail or HoneyBook's the holy grail. And I think, like, you know, don't get caught up in like the tech platform always of like that, the one that you're choosing. Sometimes, like, a lot of times they can be really similar. And I think it's best to, like, you know, ask a few people's opinions, take what they say, filter it, like you said, based on like, okay, this is a similar industry, similar niche. This is going to serve my needs as a business, and then make a decision and just move forward. Because at the end of the day, I feel like it's not always about like the tech platform too. Sometimes it's about just like getting in there and starting. But I'm with you. Like, I love asking questions in Facebook groups. And then a lot of times, like, you know, most of these programs have free trials too, that I know I've done that before, where I might sign up for like the, you know, 2-week free trial or 30-day free trial and just sort of click around in it. And a lot of times they have like the help centers with helpful videos and stuff like that, where they literally have taken the time to be like, this is how you get started on this platform, which is usually what I'm watching, because I'm like, okay, yes, give me all the knowledge. So tell me a little bit about, okay, let's say somebody, they're starting to set up their automation and they're really thinking through, like, somebody inquires with me, how can I make this as seamless as possible? Walk us through, like, what exactly a customer journey is, or a client journey, and why it's important to even understand that and think about like the end user and how they're interacting with us before, you know, they're signing that contract and saying, yes, I'm ready to, you know, onboard or whatever.
Yeah. So when I have people looking at a client process, I always encourage people to break it down into a few different sections. So we have the first section, which would be the lead section, which would be the initial point from when the client fills out that lead capture form on your website until they actually become an official client by filling out your proposal, signing your contract, and becoming officially working with you. So that's the first section. Then the next section would be from that proposal to onboarding them. So whatever documents and things you need from them to be able to bring them on as a client. So that's like your proposal, your deposit that you might require, any questionnaires that you need for the initial information from them. So just making sure that you're ready to begin their project. And then from there, there'd be an active phase where the client would move through whatever it is to fulfill your service that you're offering. So if it's photo editing, like, what is the process for them to be able to submit their photos and for you to be able to edit them and return them? Like, what does the process look like there? And then the final phase would be offboarding. So that would be when a client is done with your services, for whether it was just a one-time project that you were doing, or if you are on a monthly retainer with them and they are ready to move on, or for whatever reason don't need your services anymore. What is your process to be able to offboard them and to be able to get them all of the knowledge transfer that they might need to be able to continue to use what you've set up for them, or whatever it might be that they need to have to finish up and wrap up the client journey? So those four phases are the like breaking them down into little chunks, I think makes it a little bit less overwhelming to just look at, okay, so my process from my lead filling out my form is going to be, okay, so we're going to have a discovery call. We're going to talk, like get on the phone, and I'm going to learn a little bit more about their business. And so obviously I need to send them a scheduler to be able to do that. So just kind of breaking it up into those little sections, like those, that is essentially the client journey in your business, to be able to look at each thing individually and think about, okay, so if I was a client and I was coming in as a lead, like what I want, like would I want to be able to meet the person that I'm going to be working with for this specific service? And a lot of the times, yes, we want that like personal connection. And so for a lot of people, they're going to just send a scheduler right away to be able to book a call. So just kind of looking at the journey that your client has with you from the moment they fill out that lead capture form, like what are all the touch points in each of those sections individually? And even if you just start by jumping in and just working on the automations for just the lead phase, like what is the client touch point from the lead capture form all the way to when they get the proposal. And then just focusing in on that, getting that done really well, and then moving on to the other phases. Because I think there's a big temptation for us as business owners to try to get everything done all at once, especially with automations. If you are trying to do it yourself, you're obviously still trying to run a business. So it's really hard to try to get everything done all at once. But if we can just automate and focus on one section at a time, and then when that section is done, we move on to the next one. And then obviously looking at it as a whole when we're done and being able to identify any pain points or places where we could potentially improve is important as well. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that is perfect. And that was so much good information. We will put all of that in the show notes for you guys in case you are driving or out walking and you didn't have the chance to take notes, because those four phases of the client journey are so important. And I love what you said. If you're going to pick one to automate, go ahead and start with that lead capture touch point, because obviously that is the first touch point in the client journey. And it's also probably the most important, because like you probably know, first impressions are lasting impressions. So, you know, if they inquire on your website, is it taking you, you know, 5 or 6 days to get back to them, in which case they might have moved on or they might have found somebody else. We want to make sure that we're serving them and we're creating that awesome first impression. So they're getting a really good snapshot of what it's like to truly work with you on a one-on-one basis. So let's say, okay, I have a couple questions. First one is, let's talk about the offboarding process, because I feel like this is something that oftentimes gets forgotten. Like, of course, we're thinking about, you know, what happens when they land on your website? What's that initial touch point, moving them through that client journey? But I feel like one thing that, and sometimes maybe we don't even want to think about it because we're like, oh no, we don't want to think about possibly, you know, offboarding a client. But I feel like this can be super beneficial for a couple different reasons. So tell me a little bit more about what that process looks like and some different ways that you've seen that implemented for virtual assistants or even just for online business owners as well.
Yeah, this is a super great question. So like you mentioned, like the lead capture form is their first impression with the business, but the offboarding process is going to be their last impression with you. And the last impression is almost as important, if not more important than the first impression, because of the fact that the way that you offboard them is going to be what they are going to remember and is going to be their cue to tell their friends about you, or whatever impression you give them as they're offboarding them is going to be kind of the lasting mark that they're going to leave about if they want to potentially work with you again, or if they want to tell their friends about you, they're going to remember like the last impression as well as the first. Because sometimes the stuff in the middle gets all muddled together, but the first and the last impression are definitely the most important. And so as far as like the offboarding process goes, it's obviously going to look a little bit different depending on your business. For people who are offering some sort of one-time service, for example, my business is doing Dubsado setups. So when I offboard people, we will go through a lot of knowledge transfer. So I think knowledge transfer is important if there's anything that the client needs to know once you're done with them. So if there is any sort of tech that you've set up for anybody and they may not have known exactly how that tech works, to be able to record offboarding videos, to be able to transfer that knowledge to them. Or maybe it's getting on a phone call with them and transferring any other knowledge or loose ends that you need to wrap up with them via an offboarding call. And there is also maybe if you are a social media manager, to give your clients next steps. So like you've set up maybe 3 months worth of content and scheduled it out for your client. So letting them know that 3 months have been scheduled out. If there's any next steps, like how to manage their Tailwind or their whatever other scheduling tool you might be using, maybe giving them some of that information as well. Just because giving them that knowledge transfer allows them to feel empowered and makes them feel like you have given them the ability to continue on with whatever you've been doing for them, even if you're not there, I think gives a really good impression. And then along with that, a critical part of the offboarding process that I think a lot of people might overlook is asking for a testimonial. So whenever I offboard a client, I always have as part of my offboarding email where I send over a video library when I send over my video library, I always add a little section in about asking for a testimonial, because the testimonials, as I'm sure you know, are very critical to the success of businesses, because when we are looking online of who to work with, we're always looking for that social proof. So just adding in that little bit about asking them for a testimonial and being very specific about where you want that testimonial to be, whether you want them to give it on Google or whether you want them to give it on your Facebook page or whether you want them to send it to you directly, whatever it might be, to be very specific about it and not to give them a bunch of options, but to just kind of give them one, which you can definitely switch out from time to time for different clients so that you have it in a variety of spots. But I feel like the rate of people actually doing that goes up tremendously if you're very specific about, hey, just click this link and give me a testimonial right here. I think is very helpful as well.
Yeah. I love that you threw in the tidbit about the testimonial, because I feel like that's forgotten. And a lot of times I think people are a little intimidated to ask for that at the end. Like they know they did a great job with the client. They know the project went super well. But like, you know, once you've offboarded and wrapped everything up, I feel like sometimes people are like, oh, I don't want to bother them. They're busy. But that can be so vital. And a lot of times if you did do a great job with somebody, your clients are more than happy to rave about you, because if you did do a good job, they're like, yes, let me shout it from the rooftops. You are amazing. I can't wait to work with you again. And here's your Google review, or like you said, Facebook, or, you know, maybe they're filling out a form. Do you recommend in the offboarding process sending some sort of like a questionnaire that sort of evaluates how the project process went, any, you know, room for improvement? And what does that look like usually?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So if this is going to depend on your business, and if you want to send it in a questionnaire, or if you want to just ask it at the end of your offboarding call. But I think that is also important to be able to evaluate how you did as a business. I think that that email specifically can go out a couple of days afterwards, especially if you have a service where you've maybe set up some tech for somebody and they have a few days to like play around with it after they've had a chance to maybe watch your offboarding videos. So I think that's definitely something that you could automate a few days after you're offboarding. So maybe like 5 days after, you just send them a, hey, thanks again for working with me. Could you take 2 minutes and fill out this quick questionnaire to help me to serve future clients better, or something of that nature, an email like that. I think this would be very helpful for gathering more information to be able to improve your process, because like you said, it is really important to be evaluating ways that we can improve. And the best way to be able to improve is to be able to ask the clients of that. And also if you have if you have like a monthly retainer with a client and you've been working with them long term, even after you've offboarded them and you still have kind of a relationship with them because you've been with them for a while, maybe just asking them for like a coffee chat and then asking them about their experience with you in a more organic way, just when you're catching up with them, I think would also be a way to do it. It just kind of depends on how you want to automate that. But yeah, I think that is a really good point. That is something that people would benefit from adding to their offboarding process.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because I feel like this model works really well, whether you're on retainer with clients or whether you're doing a project-based business. I know for us, we have some clients where we've never gone through the offboarding process with them because they've literally been with us since the start of our business, but we've still implemented some of these same strategies. So we have gathered testimonials and we've also sent surveys, and we do this at every so often, whether, you know, it's quarterly or every 6 months, really just to sort of gauge, are we doing a good job? Is the client happy? Is there room for improvement? And that also helps if we do onboard new clients so that their onboarding process is even smoother, which I think can be really beneficial too. So you don't always have to wait until, like, you know, you're saying peace out to a client. You could do this in the middle if you've been working with someone for, you know, a few months or maybe even 6 months plus.
Yeah, for sure.
So how often do you recommend going back through your automations and what you've initially set up and looking at your client journey? And how do you identify where something might need to be tweaked, or like if you're wanting to make improvements in the process, like going about doing that?
Yeah, so I would recommend taking a deep dive into your client journey at least once a year, if not more. But for just kind of diving in on a baseline level, if you notice something isn't working, maybe reevaluating at the top of each quarter, if there's something that stands out to you that is definitely not working. One thing that I see a lot of people struggle with in their client journey is having clients fill out forms on time, or having clients scheduling calls and not waiting 2 weeks to be able to do it. And so automating follow-up emails, I think, is really important. For if you send a client questionnaire and you don't have a follow-up email and you're finding that a client is taking 2 weeks to fill out their form. So things like that, where you notice, hey, maybe if we add in a follow-up email like 3 days later, like, hey, can we fill out this form? It might help to be able to make that process a little bit smoother, because if a client is like, oh yeah, sure, I just totally spaced it because I opened the email, and then you know how it is. We open emails and we never see them again because our email boxes are so full. So just automating a email reminder in that sense, I think, is one of the main things that I see people not really or struggling with in the client journey. And I think that's one of the easiest things that people can catch. But also, if there's maybe clients emailing you before your emails go out. So if you have an email going out like a week after your project just started, just to check in or whatever, and clients are emailing you before then, that's another good reminder of like, hey, people are constantly like emailing me because they haven't heard from me in so long, and they're like checking in or whatever before I'm checking in. Maybe I should schedule another email to go out to check in with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. I love both of those. I feel like those are really easy things to implement, and things that I feel like probably make sense. You know, we're like, oh, duh, like we should send a follow-up email. But then like we never go in and put the follow-up email into the automation, where we're like, oh no, like this client's all of a sudden reaching out to me, and like that was part of our process, but now here I am and I'm like scrambling to respond to them and they feel like they've been forgotten. So simply just like bumping that timeline up makes the world of difference. And I think that goes back to, like, you know, your client journey doesn't have to be set in stone. It can be an evolving process. I know what I initially set up for my business looks completely different now. And we have been thinking it through, like, how do we make this even better in the new year? How do we make this smoother? How do we make this easier? And I feel like, you know, automations are really, they're talked about a lot in the sense that everybody's like, automate your business. And people are like, that sounds great, but like, what does that really mean? And how do I like really automate things? And I feel like really just like you said, thinking about it in a really simple step-by-step process allows you to get so much of your time back too. And it gives you peace of mind to know that, okay, if somebody inquires or somebody is starting a project with me, then I know they're going to have a great experience and I don't have to like worry about scrambling last minute or on a Sunday while I'm like, you know, hanging out with my kids at the park to like get back to this client that just inquired with me. So I think there's so much beauty in automation and like really understanding how we can make the best process for our clients.
For sure. And I think another thing is, I know a lot of people are afraid of networking and talking to other people that are doing a similar service to them. But I think there is a lot of power in being able to find business friends who are also community over competition and really want to build relationships and talk about your process with other people who understand what you're trying to do. And obviously not copying the same process that somebody else has, but bouncing ideas off of what they might be doing for their clients and ways that you could potentially implement some of the things that they're doing into the process that you already have, and vice versa, that you're sharing with them and they can like implement things as well, to be able to improve your process, to be able to get more ideas and to be able to understand like, hey, I can actually like this other person is doing these things for their clients. I can do something like similar, but like maybe it sparks another idea of something that you could do for your client that you haven't been doing or haven't even thought about. But you can implement it because you've had these conversations with other people. So I think networking with people who are in your same industry can be really beneficial, even if some people are scared of it because they are your competition. But at the same time, your ideal clients are going to be a little bit different because you're unique people and unique businesses. But yeah, I think that is really important and really, really important to remember that other people can definitely help you by looking over your process or even just talking about your process with other people.
Yeah, I love that so much because I feel like when you're in a same setting, whether it's virtually or in person, meeting up for coffee, and you're able to just hang out with people that are in the same space as you, that understand what the heck you're even talking about, because trust me, I have conversations and like, with my husband, and bless his heart, like he's the most supportive, but I know he's like trying to play catch up because like he's not in this online business world every day. And really being able to, like you said, bounce ideas off of each other, I feel like that is where the magic happens. Do you have any advice for somebody that's like searching for that community of like where they could go to find other like-minded individuals that are maybe like in a similar situation in business? They may be in, you know, the same area, they may not be in the same niche, of how to go about like reaching out to them and, you know, kind of becoming adult friends in a sense.
Yeah. So I think that one of the best places, and we keep going back to this, but networking in Facebook groups, I think, is really important, like really critical and a really easy thing to do. And as adults and as people in business, we're always looking, like everybody is looking to connect with other like-minded individuals. And so if you're in a Facebook group for virtual assistants and you're like, you make a post and asking if there's any like other social media managers that want to connect and maybe meet up for a Zoom coffee or whatever it might be to start building those relationships with people. It's just, I think, no, there's a lot of fear of people putting themselves out there and actually asking the question, but there are so many people out there who are in that same situation of, I'm a business owner and I really want to network and meet people, but I'm really scared to do it. But if we get over that fear and just make a post in a Facebook group, just asking, hey, is there any other social media managers that maybe want to connect? I would love to build a relationship with other social media managers or other people in the industry, as well as connecting over Instagram. I know a lot of people do that. So we follow people, we engage with people's content, we direct message other people, and building relationships in that way is a good way as well. So if you go on Instagram, you can usually find other people pretty easy in your same niche if you just kind of use the search bar. But yeah, just kind of looking for those places online to be able to connect with other business owners. And if you're looking for more local groups, to just kind of type into the search bar and see if there's any local business groups for your area, whatever the search term would be for your area. So like your area business group or whatever different search terms you might use to be able to find groups like that.
Yes, I love the Explore page on Instagram. I feel like that's literally how I think we found each other is through social media and through the internet. It's amazing, like, how many people are out there who would love to connect and love to chat with you, and just not even like a pick your brain situation, but literally just somebody to like bounce ideas off of. And like you said, it's really about that community over competition, because trust me, there are plenty of clients for everybody to go around. I'm not worried about, somebody trying to steal something or someone from me, because there are plenty of fish in the sea. But really, like you said, using that time to dive into, oh, this is working for me and this isn't working for me, and vice versa, and being able to just have that sense of togetherness and community is, I think, so important. So, okay, let's say that somebody's like, yes, this sounds amazing. I know I need to set this up in my business. This is going to save me time. This is going to save me money. This is going to probably land me more clients. I don't want to DIY this. I'm ready to like hire this out. What advice would you give somebody when they go to look for somebody, let's say, like you, Anne, who's an expert in this field? Who should they look for? Where should they look for this person that could maybe help them get set up and started? Is there anything that they need to do in order to, help you be more successful? Like, what does that process look like?
Yeah. So I would say that the first step would be, if you don't have a system that, or if you don't have a program that you're totally set on yet, a lot of systems and strategies, just people will help you to determine what might be the best fit for you. So if you're looking for a system or strategist person to be able to do that, they'll often sit down and even on the discovery call, like, you'll tell them about your business and what you do, and they will oftentimes help you to be able to determine if something is a good fit. So for instance, if you are looking at Dubsado and interested in Dubsado, like joining Dubsado's Facebook group and just asking, is this going to be a good fit for my business? Oftentimes there's a lot of people that will comment on there and offer to sit down with you on a short call to determine if it's a good fit or not. You can also ask for recommendations. So I'm always a big fan of social proof and for having people ask for recommendations for other people. I'm more likely to work with somebody if somebody I know recommends them to me. So asking if you have business friends that have a business similar to you, asking if they've have any recommendations for people that might have helped them with their systems, or asking, even making a post and asking just the general community, like, who do you recommend to be able to help me to do this? Even if you're not sure, if you want to, for instance, use Dubsado, to go into Dubsado's group and be like, I'm not sure if this is a good fit, but I would love to talk to somebody to see if it might be. And then there's a lot of people that are more than willing to help and determine if that would be a good fit. And then from there, to obviously gauge the people and to talk with them. If you're getting on a discovery call to see if they're going to be a good fit to help you to set up your business, like, obviously they're talking to you to see if you'll be a good client, but you're also talking to them to see if they jibe with you, and to not feel obligated to work with a specific person just because you get on a phone call with them. Like, you might pay somebody to get on a strategy call with you and talk to you for like an hour to go through your process, but you don't have to feel obligated to pay them any further than that if they don't feel like they're a good fit to be able to work with you, if your personality doesn't jive or whatever it might be. But yeah, just to kind of, I think the best place to start is to get into a Facebook group of a program that you think you might be able to use, and then first ask if other people are using it and if it's working for them, and then either reach out to a professional or see, like, ask people to comment if they are a professional to be able to connect with them that way.
Oh, that's such good advice and so easy to do too. That will probably take you like 30 seconds to pop into a Facebook group and make a post, and then boom, all the information is right there at your fingertips. Well, Anne, thank you so much. You have been a wealth of knowledge. I feel like this is going to be so helpful for people just like us who are getting started, wanting to set up their automations, trying to figure out how to niche down and really refine their client process. I can't thank you enough. It's been so fun to chat with you. I know everybody is going to want to follow you online. So tell us, where can everybody find you?
Yeah, for sure. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram handle is The Creatives Companion, all one word. And then I mentioned in the beginning that I work along with Dubbins. And so Dubbins actually has a community both for people using Dubsado, so Dubsado users, but also for people who are interested in setting up a business for helping other people to set up their systems and automations, if that's something you're interested in. And you can find our community. We have a free community for anybody to join at insider.dub-ins.com.
Perfect. And we'll put that link in the show notes for you guys. I feel like that is going to be so helpful. Definitely go join the community. Ask all the questions, like Anne said. And again, thank you so much. This has been so fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me, or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at The Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, will you do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review? Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.